All right, let's dive into another deep dive. This time, we're looking at a world where reality is, well, kind of squishy.
Yeah, more like Plato than like solid bedrock.
Exactly. And it can be molded by people called, get this, solipsists.
Yeah, so we're pulling this straight from a tabletop RPG.
Oh, cool.
It's called Solipsist.
Yeah.
By David Dunnetry. Yeah. And basically, it's like, imagine a world where your deepest desires, like the things you really, really want,
yeah,
can actually reshape reality.
Whoa.
That's the world of the solipsists.
I mean, so it's not just like daydreaming, right?
Oh, no, no.
There's an actual system.
There's like rules.
Right, so how this works, yeah.
The rule book, it talks about these microscopic things called animalcules.
Animalcules.
Yeah, and they basically make up reality, and they're influenced by thoughts, especially the thoughts of, well, you guessed it.
The solipsists.
The solipsists, exactly.
Okay, so animalcules are like the building blocks of the universe.
Yeah, yeah, like little tiny building blocks.
And thoughts can change them.
And solipsists, they're like, I guess you could say they're like thought amplifiers.
Oh, okay.
They're so focused. Their thoughts are so powerful that they can actually reshape reality.
So then if solipsism is like believing only your mind is real, does that mean each solipsist is making their own little universe?
Kind of. The rule book calls it ascension. It's where a solipsist gets so wrapped up in their desires.
Oh, okay.
That they basically disappear from our reality.
So they're making their own world.
Yeah. Their own world where they're the center of everything.
So most solipsists just end up alone in their own dream world.
Seems that way.
Huh. Well, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, but that's what makes this deep dive so interesting.
Okay.
We're looking at the solipsists who, like, resist that pull, you know?
Ah, all right.
They choose to stay in our reality.
So they're walking a tightrope, kind of?
Exactly. Between their desires and, well, the world as we know it.
That's a tough balancing act.
Definitely.
So how do they do it?
Well, the rule book gets into this. It describes three main things that define a solipsist's power.
Lay them on me.
Okay, so there's their vision.
I'm guessing that's the ultimate desire.
Yeah, the ultimate desire.
Like the perfect world they'd create.
Yeah. Their, like, fantasy world.
Got it.
Then there are their obsessions.
Hmm. Those sound like the stepping stones, maybe.
Yeah, like little desires that they can actually use to change reality.
Every time they fulfill an obsession,
they get closer to their vision.
And then also closer to disappearing from our reality,
right.
Like a trade-off.
Exactly. And then there are their limitations.
Okay, so those are like the things holding them back.
Exactly. Their fears, their doubts, the things they just can't bring themselves to change.
Even with their powers.
Yeah, like maybe they're afraid of being alone or they're really attached to someone.
Those are the things that keep them grounded.
Right. Those are the anchors.
So every solipsist has this internal struggle going on.
Yeah. Tug of war.
They want to reshape reality, but they're also holding themselves back.
It's a very human thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. We all have those big dreams, but also things that hold us back.
Yeah. Responsibilities, fears.
Comfort zones.
Exactly.
Like this rule book is using solipsism to explore that.
Yeah, to explore that tension between what we want and what we're afraid of.
But how does it actually work in the game?
Well, there's this process called changing reality.
Okay, pretty straightforward name.
It's pretty literal, actually.
Like, how so?
Imagine a solipsist needs to cross a river, right?
Okay.
Instead of building a bridge or finding a boat.
Yeah.
They could just change reality so the river's gone.
Whoa, so they just poof it away.
Or maybe they suddenly can walk on water.
That's wild.
It's all about their will. Their desire shaping the world.
But come on, wouldn't there be consequences?
For sure.
People would notice things changing around them, right?
Oh, yeah. The rule book calls them tears.
Tears.
Yeah, like cracks in reality.
Okay.
Caused by the solipsist's actions.
So the more they change reality.
The more tears they create.
And the closer they get to disappearing.
To their vision, yeah.
It's a balancing act.
It is. Every time they indulge in obsession, they're taking a risk.
Pushing themselves closer to the edge.
And their limitations are what keep them from going too far.
So it's a constant struggle.
Yeah, to find that balance between desire and, well, reality.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. But what about those shadows?
Oh, yeah, the shadow.
They sound kind of spooky.
Yeah, they're the opposite of the solipsists.
Okay.
They want to unravel reality.
That sounds bad.
Yeah, not good.
So what are they exactly?
The rule book's kind of vague about it.
Oh, okay.
But what we do know is that they use the tears.
The cracks in reality.
Yeah. To, like, seep into our world.
And cause trouble.
Exactly. They cause inconsistencies, paradoxes.
More tears.
More tears.
So, like, parasites, kinda.
You could say that.
But why? What do they want?
Well, there are a few theories.
Hit me.
Maybe they feed on animalcules.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe they're solipsists from another reality.
With different visions.
Yeah, and they see our world as something to destroy.
That's intense.
It is.
Any other theories?
Well, there's one more.
Okay.
And this one's really interesting.
I'm listening.
Maybe the shadows are like manifestations of the solipsists' own fears.
Whoa, like their subconscious anxieties.
Exactly.
That's deep.
It is. It suggests that even with the power to reshape reality, you can't escape your own darkness.
So you can make the world whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
but there are still forces beyond your control.
There are.
Forces that can mess it all up.
They can turn your dreams into nightmares.
Okay, so to really understand this whole battle between solipsists and shadows,
we need to look at some examples.
Right.
Exactly.
Because this is getting kind of abstract.
It is, yeah. But luckily, the rulebook gives us some great character sketches.
Oh, cool.
And even some example scenarios.
Like how a game session might actually play out.
Mm-hmm. It shows us how solipsists use their powers, how they deal with their limitations.
And how they fight the shadows.
It's really cool. I love how this rule book goes beyond just explaining the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually explores, like, the psychology of it all.
What would it really be like to have that kind of power?
Yeah, and the example characters, they really bring it to life.
So let's meet these reality benders.
Okay. So we've got Kurt Stardust.
Okay, Kurt Stardust.
And the Major. Yeah.
Who are they and what are their visions?
Okay, so Kurt Stardust, as you might guess from the name.
Yeah.
He dreams of being a rock star.
Okay.
His vision is a world where he's like adored by millions, filling stadiums.
Classic rock star fantasy.
It is.
But even with the power to change reality, he must have some limitations holding him back, right?
Of course. He's got some major insecurities about his music.
Oh, interesting.
He always worries that he's not good enough,
yeah.
That he's a fraud.
So even though he wants fame...
He's also afraid of it.
And I bet he's got other attachments too, right?
Yeah, he feels responsible for his mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's sick.
So even in his perfect world, he can't just abandon her.
It's a struggle for him.
So he wants to be a star, but he's also holding himself back.
Yeah, his own doubts and attachments are in the way.
It's like even solipsists can't just wish away their problems.
That's what makes it so interesting. It's not just mindless wish fulfillment.
It's about confronting those parts of yourself.
Yeah, the parts you might not want to change, even if you could.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what about the Major? What's his deal?
Well, unlike Kurt, the Major craves order.
Oh.
Like peace and quiet.
Sounds kind of nice, actually.
Yeah, his vision is a world of like peaceful villages.
Okay.
Where everyone knows their place, follows the rules.
Oh, he's all about structure.
Exactly. Think like tidy gardens, afternoon tea.
He sounds like my kind of guy.
He does have his quirks, though.
Oh, I bet. What are they?
Well, he's got a bit of a temper.
Oh, no.
Especially when things are messy or chaotic.
That's fun.
And ironically,
yeah.
He's really disorganized himself.
No way.
Yeah. He loses things, forgets appointments.
He's his own worst enemy, then.
It's like he's constantly battling against the very thing he wants.
Maybe he wants order in the world so he can have order in his own life.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this rule book. It makes you think about these things.
It's not just about the powers. It's about what it means to be human.
Okay, so we've got Kurt, the insecure rocker, and the Major, the orderly but... messy guy.
Yeah.
How do they actually use their powers to change reality?
Well, the rulebook has this awesome example session.
Oh, cool.
Where Kurt and the Major have to deal with a shadow incursion.
Oh.
In like this flooded part of England.
Flooded?
Yeah, flooded villages, stormy skies.
Sounds intense.
It is.
I'm hooked already. Let's dive into that session.
Okay, so the session starts with Kurt and the Major stranded in this flooded village.
Why are they stranded?
Kurt's tour bus is stuck.
Oh, no.
And their goal is to find the source of the shadow incursion.
Which is...
seems to be connected to this creepy vicar.
Vicar.
Yeah, his name's Mr. Sark. Mr. Sark, the creepy vicar.
Yeah, he's not a good guy.
Okay, so how do things start going wrong?
Well, Kurt, being Kurt, tries to change reality.
To do what?
To create a massive rock concert.
Of course he does.
He figures if he can get people to come,
yeah,
he can figure out what's going on.
That's ambitious.
Yeah, a little too ambitious.
I bet it backfires.
It does. The Major points out that they're basically alone.
Makes sense.
And a rock concert isn't exactly peaceful and orderly.
The major's not going to be happy about that.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And on top of that,
but
Kurt's roadies refuse to help.
Oh, come on.
They're complaining about not getting paid.
So even with the power to change reality,
you still have to deal with real world problems.
That's a good point.
That keeps things grounded.
So Kurt's concert plan fails miserably.
It does.
What happens next?
Well, the scene shifts to the church on the hill.
Okay.
It's the only building that's not underwater.
Makes sense.
And Kurt's roadies, they're trying to break in.
To get out of the rain, I bet.
Yeah. But the major's not having it.
Oh, I bet he's not.
He tries to change reality to make them stop.
He wants them to respect the church.
Exactly. But the shadow's influence is strong there.
So it's harder to change reality.
Yeah.
So even a solipsist's powers have limits.
They do. They're not all powerful.
Okay. So what happens?
Well, the major ends up needing Kurt's help to convince the roadies.
Oh, wow.
And even then, it costs them.
It costs them what?
What's called infestation.
Okay. What's that?
It's like a measure of how much they're pushing their powers.
So the more they change reality,
the more infestation they build up.
And the closer they get to disappearing.
Exactly.
It's risky business.
It is.
So do they get into the church?
They do, eventually.
What's it like inside?
Well, it's pretty creepy.
Oh, no.
It's described as cold and desolate.
Not a good sign.
The floodwaters are gone inside.
That's weird.
But there's no sign of the villagers.
Or the vicar.
Or the vicar.
This is getting spooky.
It is.
I bet the shadows are up to something.
You're probably right.
So what happens next?
Well, the vicar, Mr. Sark, he shows up for a second.
Okay.
Just long enough to curse them as agents of the devil.
Whoa.
And then he disappears again.
He sounds like he's working with the shadows.
Maybe even the source of the incursion.
Like a solipsist who's gone bad?
Yeah. It's a scary thought.
That someone could use these powers for evil.
The line between creation and destruction might be pretty thin.
So what do Kurt and the major do?
Well, driven by their desires.
Yeah.
They decide to split up.
Oh, no. That's never a good idea.
I know, right?
Especially in a creepy, shadow-infested church.
But that's what they do.
So where do they go?
The major, he's all about order, remember?
Yeah.
And he's furious at the vicar.
For defying him?
Exactly. Yep. So he chases the vicar up the church tower.
To confront him.
Yeah. And try to restore order.
Meanwhile, Kurt.
Kurt hangs back.
Because he's probably scared.
Well, he's also wary of anything that might mess up his chances of fame.
Right. That makes sense.
So he decides to explore the church.
To see if he can find any clues.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this doesn't sound good.
Splitting up is never a good idea.
What happens to the major?
Oh, it's pretty tense.
I bet.
The vicar's standing on the roof of the tower.
Okay.
And he seems to be calling on the shadows.
To do what?
To flood the world again.
Oh, no. He's gone full evil solipsist.
It seems that way.
It's like he thinks he's doing good.
But he's actually helping the shadows destroy everything.
That's a chilling thought.
It is. And it shows how dangerous unchecked desire can be.
Even with good intentions.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions, as they say.
So what does the major do?
He tries to reason with the vicar.
Really?
Yeah. He points out that the rain has stopped.
That the flood is receding.
Exactly.
But I bet that doesn't work.
It doesn't.
So what does he do then?
He tries to change reality.
To force the vicar to stop.
To restore order. To seal the tear.
He's going all out.
He is. He's using all his remaining infestation.
And probably taking on more tears.
It's a huge risk.
Does he succeed?
Well, he does break the vicar's hold on the shadows.
Okay.
He resolves the threat.
So it's over?
Not quite.
Oh.
There's a twist.
What happens?
The GM, using the rules for the shadows,
yeah,
twists the outcome.
How so?
Instead of the floodwaters just receding,
okay,
they're consumed by these huge black tentacles.
Tentacles, yeah.
Like giant tentacles coming down from the storm cloud.
That sounds terrifying.
It is.
Like something out of Lovecraft.
Totally. Even in defeat, the shadows find a way to mess things up.
To warp reality.
Exactly. And now those tentacles are turning on the major.
Oh.
Yeah, the session cuts away at that point.
What? So we don't know what happens to him.
Not yet. We cut to Kurt, who's still down in the church.
Completely oblivious.
Blissfully unaware of the giant tentacles.
Talk about a cliffhanger. Poor Kurt.
It's a great way to end the session, don't you think?
It definitely leaves you wanting more.
It makes you wonder what happens to the major.
And what Kurt's going to do when he finds out.
We'll have to wait for the next part of our deep dive to find out.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so Kurt, he wants to be like famous, right? Mm-hmm. Huge crowds, stadiums, the whole nine yards.
Well, okay, yeah, the rock star dream.
Exactly. but he's got these insecurities, you know.
Oh, about his music.
Yeah, like deep down he's worried he's not actually good enough.
So even though he wants all this fame,
he's afraid of being exposed, like a fraud.
A phony.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's his mom.
Oh, right. She's sick.
Uh-huh. And he feels super responsible for her.
So even in his, like, perfect world,
he couldn't just abandon her.
It would eat him up inside.
Totally. So he's got this internal conflict going on.
Yeah. Wanting fame, but also being afraid of it. Wanting to follow his dreams, but also needing to take care of his mom.
It's like a tug of war in his head.
It's like the rule book is saying, even with the power to change reality, you still got to deal with your own baggage.
Exactly. It's not just about, like, poofing away your problems.
It's about facing them.
Yeah. And making choices.
Okay, that makes sense. So what are the major? What kind of world is he trying to create?
Well, he's kind of the opposite of Kurt.
How so?
He wants, like, peace and quiet.
Oh, okay.
Order, you know.
Like a nice, calm world.
Yeah, exactly. Think, like, little English villages.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
With tidy gardens and everyone following the rules.
Like a perfectly organized world.
Mm-hmm. That's his vision.
But I bet he's got some quirks too, right? No. Nobody's perfect.
Oh, he definitely does, for one thing.
Yeah.
He's got a temper.
No way. Mr. Orderly has a temper.
Yeah. It comes out when things are messy or chaotic.
So basically all the time.
Pretty much. And here's the kicker.
What?
He's super disorganized himself.
What? That's hilarious.
I know, right? It's like he's constantly creating the chaos he hates.
He's fighting against himself.
Maybe his desire for order is more about controlling himself than the world.
That's a really good point.
It's like he wants the world to be calm so he can feel calm too.
Okay, so we've got Kurt, the insecure rocker, and the major, the orderly but messy guy.
Yeah, they're a fun pair.
They are. So how does this all play out in the game? How do they actually use their powers?
Well, the rule book gives us this awesome example session.
Oh, cool.
With Kurt and the major facing a shadow incursion.
Okay, I'm already hooked.
It takes place in, like, a really flooded part of England.
Flooded.
Yeah, villages underwater, the whole deal.
Sounds intense.
It is.
So how does it start?
Well, Kurt and the major are stranded in this flooded village.
Stranded how?
Kurt's tour bus is stuck in the water.
Oh, no.
And they got to find the source of the shadow incursion.
Which seems to be
connected to this creepy vicar.
A vicar.
Yeah, his name's Mr. Sark.
Okay, Mr. Sark, the creepy vicar.
Pretty much.
So what happens first?
Well, Kurt, being Kurt, immediately tries to change reality.
To do what?
To create this massive rock concert.
A rock concert.
Right.
In a flooded village.
Yeah. He figures if he gets a crowd together, he can figure out what's going on, maybe find some survivors.
I mean, it's creative. I'll give him that.
Right.
But it's also kind of crazy.
Oh, totally.
I'm guessing it doesn't go well.
You guessed it.
What happens?
The major freaks out.
Why?
Well, for one thing, they're basically alone.
In this flooded landscape.
Mm-hmm. And a rock concert isn't exactly peaceful and orderly.
The major's all about order, remember?
Exactly.
So he's not happy about Kurt's plan.
Not at all. Plus, Kurt's roadies refuse to help.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they're complaining about not getting paid. They think Kurt's lost it.
So even with reality bending powers,
you still got to deal with roadies.
That's a good point. It keeps things grounded, you know?
Totally. You can't just escape the realities of life.
So Kurt's concert idea is a bust.
Big time.
What do they do next?
The scene shifts to this church on a hill.
Oh.
It's the only building not underwater.
Makes sense.
And Kurt's roadies are trying to break in.
They didn't get out of the rain, I bet.
Yeah. But the major is having none of it. He's, like, super offended that they're disrespecting a holy place.
Oh, right. He's all about order and rules.
Exactly. So he tries to change reality to make them stop.
Okay.
But
uh-oh.
It's harder than usual.
Aye.
Because the shadow's influence is strong there.
So even a solipsist's powers can be weakened.
Yeah, they're not invincible.
This is getting tense.
It is. The major actually needs Kurt's help to get the roadies to back off.
Wow, so they have to work together.
Yeah, and even then it costs them.
Costs them what?
Infestation.
Oh, right. That's like the price they pay for using their powers.
Exactly. Mm. The more they change reality, the more infestation they build up.
And the closer they get to disappearing.
To their visions, yeah.
It's a delicate balance.
It is.
So they finally get into the church.
They do.
What's it like inside?
Well, it's pretty creepy.
In what way?
It's like empty and silent.
Okay, that's spooky.
The floodwaters are gone inside, but there's no sign of the villagers.
Or the vicar. But I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, this is where things start to get really weird.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. What happens next?
Well, the vicar, Mr. Sark, he appears for a second.
Okay.
Just long enough to curse them.
To curse them, like literally.
Yeah. He calls them agents of the devil.
Whoa.
And then he vanishes again.
That is creepy.
Right.
It's like he's not even human anymore.
Maybe he's become a servant of the shadows.
Like a dark solipsist.
Yeah. Using his powers to destroy reality instead of create it.
Okay, now I'm really freaked out.
So what do Kurt and the Major do?
Well, they got to stop him, right?
They try to.
How?
Well, first they split up.
Split up.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
I know, right? But that's what they do.
So where does each of them go?
The Major, he's so angry at the vicar, you know.
For defying him, for causing all this chaos?
Exactly. So he chases him up the church tower?
To confront him?
Yeah, and try to restore order.
What about Kurt?
Kurt, he's more cautious.
He probably doesn't want to get mixed up in a fight.
And he's always worried about his image.
Right, he doesn't want to do anything that might hurt his chances of fame.
So he hangs back. And decides to search the church for clues.
Oh, man, this is not going to end well.
I know, right.
So what happens to the Major?
Well, he finds the vicar on the roof of the tower.
Okay.
And it's pretty intense.
How so?
The vicar's, like, ranting and raving.
About what?
About how the world needs to be cleansed, how the flood needs to come back and wash away all the sin.
He sounds like a fanatic.
He does.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's actually calling on the shadows to make it happen.
So he's not just a solipsist, he's like a shadow worshiper.
It seems that way.
That's a scary thought. Someone who thinks they're doing good but is actually helping to destroy everything.
Yeah, the road to hell and all that.
So what does the Major do?
He tries to reason with the vicar.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, dude, the rain has stopped. The flood is receding. Chill out.
But I bet that doesn't work.
It doesn't. The vicar's too far gone.
So what does the Major do then?
He decides to change reality.
To do what?
To stop the vicar. To seal the tear. To restore order.
Whoa, he's going all out.
He is. He's using all his remaining infestation, even taking on more Kears.
He's pushing himself to the limit.
It's a huge gamble.
So does it work?
Well, in a way.
What do you mean?
He does break the vicar's hold on the shadows.
Okay.
He resolves the threat.
So it's over.
Not quite.
Oh, no, there's a catch, isn't there?
There is.
What happens?
Well, the GM... using the rules for the shadows,
yeah.
He twists the outcome.
Oh, so?
Instead of the floodwaters just receding normally.
Okay.
They get sucked up into these giant black tentacles.
Tentacles?
Yeah. Like massive tentacles coming down from the storm clouds.
Oh, my God. That is terrifying.
It is.
It's like something straight out of a Lovecraftian nightmare.
Exactly. Hmm. Even though the Major succeeded.
The shadows still found a way to mess things up.
To warp reality to their will.
So what happens next?
Well, the session cuts away at that point.
What? So we don't know what happens to the Major.
Not yet. We cut to Kurt, who's still down in the church.
Completely oblivious to the giant tentacles.
Yeah, he has no idea what's going on.
Oh, man. Poor Kurt.
It's a great cliffhanger, don't you think?
It is. I'm dying to know what happens next.
We'll have to wait for the next part of our deep dive to find out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so last we saw the Major, he was dealing with some giant tentacles.
Oh, right. After he tried to fix that tear, the one causing the flood.
Mm-hmm. And the session actually ends there.
So we don't know if he made it out okay.
Nope. It's a cliffhanger.
It's like, did he escape? Did those tentacles get him? Did he ascend to his perfectly ordered world?
Who knows? It's up to our imaginations.
That's kind of cool, actually. It leaves you wondering.
Yeah, the rule book does that a lot. It leaves things open-ended.
So you can come up with your own theories.
Exactly. It makes you think.
Okay, well, while we're pondering the Major's feat, what about Kurt?
Oh, yeah, he's still down in that creepy church.
Probably thinking about his next hit song.
It's actually described as being really quiet in there.
Okay.
Like, eerily quiet.
Oh, that's not good.
The floodwaters are gone. His roadies are gone. The Major's gone.
And it's just him, alone in the silence.
Yeah, and the rule book really emphasizes that sense of unease.
I bet Kurt's starting to freak out a little.
Yeah, all his rock star confidence is probably fading pretty fast.
This is the opposite of the world he wants to create.
Yeah, no screaming fans, no bright lights, just him in the shadows.
So what does he do?
Well, he tries to change reality again.
Oh, okay, to do what this time?
Not to create a concert or anything like that.
Okay.
He just wants his roadies back.
Oh, he just wants some company.
He's feeling vulnerable, alone.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But remember, he's already spent a lot of infestation.
So he's weak.
Yeah, and the shadows are strong there.
So his change fails.
It does.
Poor Kurt.
And the way it fails is pretty interesting.
Oh, How so?
The church is suddenly filled with the sound of Kurt's music.
Okay.
But it's like distorted, warped.
Like a nightmare version of his songs.
Exactly. It's described as unsettling, scary even.
The shadows are messing with his head.
They're using his own music against him.
That's messed up.
It is. It shows how the shadows work. They exploit your desires, your fears.
They turn your strengths into weaknesses.
Yeah. And it's a reminder that even with the power to change reality, you can't escape your own darkness.
So what happens to Kurt? Does he make it out of the church?
The session actually ends there.
Another cliffhanger.
Yeah. We're left with Kurt alone in the church, surrounded by this warped music, the shadows closing in.
Oh, man, that's intense. It's like, even if he escapes the shadows, he might be trapped in his own nightmare.
Yeah, it's a pretty bleak ending.
But it makes you think, you know?
About the nature of reality, the power of desire, the darkness that can lurk inside us all.
This whole deep dive has been a real mind trip.
It has. It makes you question everything.
Like, what if our own desires, even the good ones, could lead to unintended consequences?
What if the things we think will make us happy actually end up destroying us?
That's a scary thought.
It is. But it's also a reminder to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, because you might just get it.
And it might not be what you expected.
Well, folks, that's our deep dive into the world of Solipsist.
We've explored the powers, the limitations, the shadows, the whole shebang.
It's a world where reality is fragile, desire is powerful, and the line between creation and destruction is blurry at best.
If you want to learn more, I highly recommend checking out the rulebook.
It's a wild ride, but it'll definitely make you think.
Until next time, keep those animalcules buzzing and be careful what you wish for.
Because in the world of Solipsist, reality is what you make it, but the consequences are all too real.